fantasy, sports, and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, it's Mr. FSP. I'm in the place to be doing what I do, because I did it real quick, because I didn't like that. I am, as a matter of fact, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. No, I'm not Bret the Hitman Hart, but yes, I am the Heartbreak Kid, Vic Garten, better known as FSP, rocking on the MIC, here on a Saturday, with my boy Jay, the ATM Money. What's up, Jay?
Not much, man. Just enjoying the things that are taking place this week. A lot of things happening in sports, and just taking it all in right now.
Yeah, college basketball is in full swing. The NFL playoffs are in full swing. College football has ended, crowning Florida State the national champions. A lot of good things have been going on. I missed last week's show due to work. But you held it down. I know we had a lively conversation on Sunday, and then on this past Thursday, you had Clarence call in. Clarence actually wanted to talk a little boxing MMA because he's a boxing guy, and he wanted to debate me on the ramifications of boxing versus MMA. So... I don't know if you guys got a chance to talk to him, but I heard you, Mike, and a few other people. Also, I noticed that another co-host is disappearing, just not showing up after his league has ended. And I noticed that somebody didn't get their winnings yet, or part of their winnings or something from him just yet. But I ain't going to call them out. I ain't going to call me out.
Yeah, I know. In fact, and I'm just looking at it now. I think it was. Let me put it this way. You're right, Rick. I mean Vic. You're right. You're right, Vic. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know what's going on. So.
But yet I get called out for every little thing.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're absolutely right. Well, you saw I posted an email, and everybody saw it. So it's not just like I just posted it for him. I posted it for everybody, trying to find out what's going on.
It is what it is. I'm guilty of late payments myself, but yeah, mine is due to
Yeah, I know. I noticed that. I just saw one today. I noticed that.
Yeah, well, that was due to getting the trophy engraved and paying for the trophy and all that other stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So now,
speaking of trophy, before you go any further,
mm-hmm.
I should be getting mine. I don't know where Will lives. I don't know exactly where Will lives, but I know he mailed it. I think he said he mailed it on Wednesday morning, if I'm not mistaken. So depending on where he mailed it from and the mail service, I should be getting it probably today. I would think.
Well,
I think the
bad weather on the East Coast might have slowed that down a little bit, though, bro. You got to think
okay.
about that.
Where's he living?
I don't know.
Okay.
But if it's anywhere on the East Coast, especially coming in the East Coast, and mm-hmm. your boy Chris Christie blocking up lanes.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
Slow down traffic.
He's not my boy. He's not my boy.
Hey,
but you know, I understand what you're saying.
All right, but ladies and gentlemen, you're rocking with the best. It's a Fantasy Sports Politics Saturday edition. Myself and JT, we've been doing this for a while. Again, he's one of my very, very good friends. even though I've never actually seen this man in person. I've attempted to, but just like Jermichael Finley when Jerry picks him, he disappears, never to be seen again.
Don't disappear. Stop. Stop. Disappear.
Whatever.
Stop. Stop. You see, we've talked to each other through Skype. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. But I said in person, not via telephonic methods. But anyway.
I understand. Hey, you never know. Things have a funny way of just shaking out. You may be in Vegas, and I may happen to be there, or I just may happen to come out to the West Coast. You never know.
You never know. That's true. But with Jerry, you know it ain't happening. But anyway.
What's up with that? Where'd that backhand and slap come from? What's up with that?
Because I'm going to get you and Jeff to the NFL draft this year. And if y'all don't show up to do a live 3, 6, 8-hour show, I'm going to have a problem.
How you going to get us there?
Don't worry about it. Just know I'm getting you there.
Those tickets are extremely hard to find.
Who said they're going to be tickets?
Well, those press passes are extremely hard to get.
I'm working.
Okay.
I'm working.
Okay.
Anyway, long story short, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about 7 minutes about nothing really. But on today's show, JT and I, we're going to discuss week 2 of the NFL playoffs. Will beast mode happen again? Last time they said a small little earthquake, a seismic activity took place when these two teams played in the playoffs in 2010, which was 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Will it repeat itself? That's a good question. Will it repeat itself? I don't know. I can't say it will. I don't think it will. Also, Jay Gruden to the Washington Redskins.
We got to talk about this one.
Is this a good fit? We'll discuss that. Also on today's episode, we're going to talk about a fantasy basketball trade that is totally ludicrous. But I want to ask the people out there. I want to ask the people.
Well, I offered you another one, two, I think,
Hold on.
Okay.
Would you trade Tyree Evans? And
if you can't pronounce his name, you shouldn't go there. Kyrie Irving.
I'm sorry, Irving. I spelled it right. I just said it wrong. Would you, in a fantasy basketball league, trade Kyrie Irving this early in the season? Granted, there might be some issues with your team, but this early in the season, would you trade him? We're going to talk about that because, as Mr. Taylor alluded to, he offered me a trade. Now, I have a bunch of guys. Some of them are hurting, and I'm not really into fantasy basketball that much. So I change my roster periodically, but not enough to actually be a real competitor. Although last year I finished third in the basketball league, if I'm not mistaken. Was that baseball? It's one or the other. But right now, what I'm going to do is, before we get to all that, I want to bring on the air the 2013-2014 Wolverines in the House Fantasy Football Champion. Unfortunately, it wasn't me, and it wasn't JT, but it was this man. Somebody, I have to ask him where the hell he got this name from, but his name is Brett Maynard, and his team is called the Louisiana Coonasses. Brett, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Vic?
Ain't nothing. JT, Never Humble Always Talking is my co-host. He's on the line as well, so you can talk trash to him, since I know y'all have a little rivalry of sorts. But congratulations to you.
I'm going
to
spank that ass next week. Not next week, next season. I guarantee it.
Man,
he won't beat me one time next season. Won't beat me.
You sound like Vic every year. Vic keeps trying to say he's going to
Let me tell you something. He talks a lot of crap, but I'm the one that backs it up when I talk it. I guarantee it.
Oh, I back mine.
No. Cool. When I talk it, I back it up. Trust me. You will not beat me next season. You will not beat me next season, and I'm willing to put some money behind it. You and your coon ass.
Oh,
put money behind it because I'm taking your money home right now. I just made my withdrawal.
Well, let me put it that way. You better put it in the bank so it can gain some interest because that's all you're going to have next season after I kick your butt.
Well, I done paid up for next year with your fee, so you paid my way to play next year. So you paying to kick your own ass next year.
Hold on. This is true. All this is true. All right, Brent, you said you don't play baseball, right?
No, sir, I don't.
All right, that's okay. I appreciate the fantasy. Because here's what I'm going to do. Normally, I like to play Jerry. But, Brent, I'm going to make this even more special next season. Since I smell a bet coming down the line, Brent, you and Jerry will be in the same league. Jerry, I'm going to move you. Did you win your division, Jerry?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
And next season, if he keeps his name, I'm going to change it for him. It's going to be the Louisiana Sorry Asses.
Now, listen, I'm making an exception. Hold on. Normally, I make the division winner stay in their division. That's what I normally do. However, if there's a special request sent, I will make sure that since Brent won the league, I will move Jerry to Brent's division.
I'm going to prove a point. Put me in his division.
Man, that's
put me in his division.
Don't get against 7-1. That's
okay.
Going to be two asses to go get in 1 year.
Oh.
What did he say?
There'll be two ass whoopings you'll get in 1 year. And not to mention, I didn't want to mention this, but in Yahoo, I think Jerry got the best of you, Brent, in the Yahoo league.
That's what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Put me in his division. And
wait,
I'm going to prove a point. I can beat him in any division he's in. I'm going to be his daddy. I'm going to beat that coon ass.
We talking about apples and oranges right here. Right now we talking about Wolverines in the house. We're not talking about Yahoo. We talking about collecting.
What I can do in Yahoo, I can do in ESPN. It doesn't make a difference. Only the name changes, the faces still stay the same.
Hey, you know what's the sad part about me winning it this year? I lost Arian Foster. I had struggles with my running backs, and I went on a little losing streak. But I still turned around and come out on top. So that ain't saying much for you, Jerry.
Every now and then a squirrel finds a nut. This time was a coon ass. What can I tell you?
Hey, I was in the final, if I don't recall. I just came up a little bit short. But this year is going to be a whole different story.
Okay.
Because now it done got personal, and you know what, Jerry?
It's not personal. It's not personal. It's not personal to me. It's all good. Trust me, it's all good.
All right, here we go. I forgot to do something. I was so excited that I saw Brent's number pop up. I forgot to do this. Brent is calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com phone line, where winners win and players play. Go there and make some wagers today. Brent, I know you're busy and stuff like that. You're welcome to stay on the line or listen to the rest of the show or even comment on what me and Jerry are talking about. But if you got to go, you got to go. Congratulations. I look forward to having you next year. Let me know when you do get that trophy. Take that picture so I can post it up on the ESPN page. I'm going to make a Facebook group for both Yahoo and ESPN so that
savor it. Savor that
yeah, so
picture.
Savor it. Yeah, and all that other good stuff. And, why is it coon? What the hell is a coon asses? I need to know this.
That's what they title us down here in Louisiana. We got the, I don't know if you watch Swamp People and all that. You know, they got, that's kind of like a Yankee. They call the Yankees up north and all that. They were down in the south. We the Coonass. So that's what that's all about.
Okay, all right. I didn't know that. Learned something today.
Yeah, no, it's a south thing down here. You know, I just want to take this time to express my appreciation. Big, you run some outstanding league. And any members that get out, if they got any new members out there, this is one league to be in. It's fun.
Yep.
It's very powerful. As you can hear, we bullshit each other and we talk a lot of smack, and that's what it's all about. And in the end, somebody's got to be happy and somebody's got to be sad. It just so happened to be that Jerry's the one that turned out with the sad faces.
Yeah. That's all right. I'm going to turn that sad face to a smile after next season. I guarantee it. Like I said, let me put it this way. If I beat you two times next season, your name is not going to be Coonasses. It's going to be Sorry Asses. You're going to have to change it.
Hey, put your money where your mouth is. I got $50 on each game.
Wait a minute. That's nothing. Come on, man. If you're gonna go somewhere, you gotta at least go to a bill. Come on. On each game.
I ain't scared. Let's go for it.
Okay. You heard it, Vic. It's one bill, $100 on each matchup that we have in 2014 ESPN.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm all in.
Okay, so that conceivably could be three games.
Absolutely.
It could actually be four. Depends on how ESPN structures the schedule. So I might do the schedule this year to make sure nobody plays.
I'm going to kick his ass twice, and he ain't going to even make the playoffs next year.
I guarantee I make the playoffs. And if you're in the same division I am, you're going to be looking at my ass. I'm not going to be even looking at yours. You're going to be looking at my ass, looking up at my ass.
Okay, that sounds
right
a little... That sounds a little... Okay, boy. Check it out. I'm going to play this.
I appreciate everything. And I can't wait for next year. Jerry, you the one, baby. You the one. I'm coming for you.
Hey.
All right.
I hate to push you off the side there because you're running so much smack, but Vic, you know I got to throw this in there. Maybe next year, buddy. Maybe next year. You still ain't.
I can't wait.
All right, guys. Y'all take it easy, man. Talk to
take
y'all
care.
Next year. Yes, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the Wolverines in the house.
I had to do that, Vic.
Football champion. It's fine. Hey, it's fine. He called in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com phone line where winners win and players play. So go make some wagers there today. Speaking of which, if you listened to the Crew show a couple Thursdays ago, Black told you guys to lay the wood on Auburn. They were going to cover. Auburn almost won the game.
Yep.
Not only did they cover, almost won the game. So hopefully some of you guys paid a little bit of money down there and probably did a parlay or whatever the case may be, but that was a good thing for you to do. But I want to thank Brent for calling in on Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com phone line. So we're going to move on. Get a lot of time. But that was a good conversation. Now, JT, we're going to mark this. It is January 11th, 2014.
Yep.
Jerry Taylor has made a wager with Brent Maynard.
Yep.
Next year, this upcoming fantasy football season, 2014-2015, $100 per matchup in ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
$100 per matchup in ESPN. And Jerry has agreed to move to his division. So,
absolutely.
I guess Jerry, you're finished with Duke and with Dave playoff blocker. I put you.
I'm not scared.
I Okay. So this promises to be a fun-filled fantasy football season next year.
So my question before we go any further, who are you going to move from now our division to division I'm leaving?
Well, here's the deal. If we're going to increase because I have last year's champion who said he's going to return. And
okay.
Then there might be one more, another person or two coming in. So we might go to 14 teams, and it'll
okay.
be seven teams in the division. Wait a minute, hold on.
No, it can't be seven teams. We got three divisions, don't we?
But I would change it to two divisions.
Oh, okay. All right.
Give me a second. Well, yeah.
Sure.
I got to reply to Brent. But anyway, so seven teams in each division. If we stay where we're at and don't increase, I would take a team from his division and just swap you in and one of them. That's all that would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy pick.
Because we have three divisions now, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say if you move from your division, I would take somebody else from Brent's division and put them in your place. And you would take their place in his division. You follow?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just in case Brent's still listening. Brent, you can go to several places to rehear what we just did. You can come back here to blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and listen to this episode. Or later on today, you can go to spotonradio.webs.com, and this show will be aired 24/7, 365, along with a couple other of our shows. Or you can go to fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com and listen to them. As I said, we have several options for you to hear this one episode or all of our episodes if you would like to do that. So if you're still listening, that's what we're going to do. If not, I'll send you a text, and we'll get back to you. But anyway, we got to get back to some real football, some real fantasy football here. Daniel Snyder's at it again, where he goes from veteran to rookie, veteran to rookie, veteran to rookie. I'm talking about head coaches. This time he's got a rookie head coach in Jay Gruden. I would say this is more of a hire, not of Daniel Snyder, but of Mr. Allen, the GM. The GM is bringing in his people. Well, the GM already had his people, just not his head coach. And that was, you know, a power struggle there. A while ago, Rickie came on the air and said that, yes, that Mike Shanahan had all this power. And I debated him. And I'm not ashamed to say that I was wrong. I was slightly wrong. Mike Shanahan did have a lot of player personnel power. But now Mr. Allen has asserted himself and said, no, I've got the power. He had a relationship with Jim Haslett. He had a relationship with all these other people. And now he's bringing in Jay Gruden, who he had a relationship with as well, through John Gruden. But there's a – so my point on this is, if this does not work within a year or two, I think Bruce Allen will be gone as well. Because now he has all these people. They retained pretty much all the staff except for the offensive coordinator, which was Kyle Shanahan. They released some of the offensive coaches. I believe they released the special teams coach as well. They also released Mike Shanahan. But pretty much everybody else is still there. Raheem Morris is there. Jim Hazard's there. I don't like that, but whatever. The tight ends coach is now the offensive coordinator. Jay Gruden's there. So this is Bruce Allen's ship. If it sinks, don't be surprised if you see Vinny Serrato back with the Redskins organization.
Oh, God.
I know. I'm going to let you talk, but I believe we got my cousin on the line, so I'm going to let you say what you got to say, Dick. and then we'll bring in Mike. Go ahead.
Well, let me tell you something, man. I think Jay Gruden hire is a decent hire. At least he's a head coach that his specialty is quarterback. So hopefully RG3, who I think is at a crucial time, even though it'll be his third season in the league, is at a crucial point in his career that he needs somebody that is more quarterback friendly than the two prior coaches. I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan. But the problem I have with the Washington Redskins is retaining Jim Haslett as a defensive coordinator. That's got to be, I mean, just look at Jim Haslett's record as a defensive coordinator, not even with the Washington Redskins. Take that away and put him in the other situations that he was in. I think he was in quite naturally with New Orleans. He was in the, with the Rams, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And all his defenses have historically gotten torched. I don't understand why they retain this guy because, in my opinion, he's one of the worst offensive coordinators going. This has got to be the good old the good old boys club at its worst. There's a lot of defensive coordinators out there that are a hell of a lot better than Jim Haslett. I don't understand, and the Washington Redskins are going to have the same amount of problems on defense. It may be even worse because London Fletcher is no longer going to be there, a stable person in the middle, unless they get a huge influx of players, high-end players. There's going to be a problem with the defense, which is going to put the offense of the Skins behind the eight ball. Don't understand it. It's going to be the same old thing, in my opinion, on the defense. And the offense is going to struggle to keep up.
Okay. I mean, I kind of agree with you on that. I actually agree with you quite a bit on it. But I do think that I'm not going to say it's a good old boy type deal, but it's the fact that Bruce Adam is bringing people that he's comfortable with, that he likes. And that's why I'm saying the onus is on him, not really Jay Gruden. I think Jay Gruden's a solid offensive coordinator. I don't know about being a head coach. When he was in the Arena League, he did the head coach, he did the quarterback. He was pretty daggone good, but the Arena League's a little different from the NFL. Quite different. But it is what it is, and we'll see what happens with them. But let me bring in Mike. He's been on the line for a minute, and let me see what he thinks about it. Go ahead, and what do you think about the hiring of Jay Gruden?
First of all, good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing, my man?
I like the hiring. I like the way that Bruce Allen is going about things. Let me give it to y'all. Let me give it to y'all. The real clear picture of what's going on, because y'all comment smack of not being out here. The reason why Jim Haslett was retained is because Mike Shanahan was the one that was tinkering with a lot of the defense. Turns out that Mike Shanahan was the one tinkering with the defense, like, in the beginning of 2012. But then when he stopped, that's when the defense started picking up. And then he had some other things, some more input that was that he was putting into this year, which wouldn't let up. And he kind of was, like, using Haslett like a stoolie or whatever, man. It's just terrible. It's just a mess. It's just all of the information that keeps coming out, you really got to sift through it. You really got to. I'm on the fence about the Haslett thing because, his history has been bad or whatever. But, when they put together those blitzes, they were good. They were just getting after it. When they got it down, I'm not too hurt by the whole London Fletcher leaving. He was pretty bad after like probably about week five. I knew he was kind of bad. He wasn't getting sideline to sideline at all. So, you know, he was done. But I do agree that there's going to have to be a whole bunch of influx of defensive talent. They need defense. They need linebackers. They need corners. You know, they've got a lot of money in under the cap room to do some things, but that won't be enough. They won't have a first round pick. So, you know, they'll get in the game around the second round through the seventh round. So they'll get to work on that. But overall, I think the hire was good. You know, I don't know if it's going to be, successful or whatever, because we've been catfished before over the past 15 years. We've even been catfished by, you know, one of our own legends or whatever, you know. So I don't know where this is going to go, but I definitely got enough sense to know that Vinny Serrato is never coming back to the Washington Raiders. I got enough sense to know that much.
Hey, you never know, but damn.
But Bruce Allen, I don't know, Victor. Bruce Allen has. I think Bruce Allen has got this job for life, dude. I don't see him. I don't see Snyder treating him, you know, any differently. I don't. Now he's just empowered more so now because Mike Shanahan's gone. And Mike Shanahan just, oh my goodness, he just sucks up so much in the room down here. And I just want all of this media pile on and nonsense to stop. You know, all this stuff about RG3 can't work with a coach or he's going to be this and this and that. No, that's all nonsense, man. I'm just tired of hearing all this mess. Really tired of it.
Okay. I mean, that's one thing that was said on NFL Network in
that was
NFL AM. Well, Steve Weiss, who's a very creditable reporter, I like him, good guy. He said that RG3 is going to have to fight that stigma of being labeled the coach killer. And I was looking more at what like Michael Vick was labeled: both athletic, both enthusiastic, both learning different systems or trying to do different systems, stuff like that. So hopefully that.
Why don't you say the obvious thing that they both are? Say the obvious.
Come
thing.
Come on. I'm trying to make a different point.
No, I'm serious.
I'm making a different point. I know what you're saying. But that's not the point I'm trying to get to. The point I'm getting to is you're trying to fit a square or a circle player in a square peg, whereas the West Coast offense. Now, Jay Gruden said this in his speech or in his introduction that RG3 or Robert's going to have to take responsibility for his bad throws and take responsibility for the good stuff and stuff like that. And, you know, it's interesting because the West Coast system is a very quick, very reader-friendly offense if you read the defense correctly. I remember seeing when RG3 was going through the combine, when Steve Mariucci, you know, did the 1 minute or whatever minute with Steve Mariucci, and he gave him a play, he diagrammed it and told him, okay, well, whatever or not. Then they sat down for a few minutes and talked, and then he told him to re-diagram the play. He re-diagrammed the play, and he remembered his hits or his reads, 1, 2, 3. But that's just one play. I'm looking at a system like Jay Gruden. Now, I believe his name is Paul Brown. Is it Paul Brown that owns the Bengals? I can't remember his name. But the owner of the Bengals said he wanted to get Kaepernick. Because
the present owner?
Yeah.
The present owner is Mike Brown.
Mike Brown, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The son of Paul Brown, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he said he wanted to get Kaepernick as opposed to Andy Dalton, but Jay Gruden pushed for Andy Dalton because he was more NFL ready. Kaepernick and RG3 are very similar. I think RG3 is a little better than Kaepernick. Kaepernick just has more toys. So to me, that puts in my head, is he going to try to push RG3 by making a quote-unquote unofficial quarterback controversy or quarterback competition with Cousins?
No.
Will Cousins be there?
He stated that outright. He stated that outright in that presser. There is no competition.
RG3
is a starter.
I got it, but people say a lot of things out front, but in the back, you know, his motivational tactics, I've seen his motivational tactics. He's just like his brother. He's going to dog you and dog you and dog you until he gets what he wants. He might be a little bit more friendlier than his brother, but I've seen him, you know, with the NFL training camp, and then I've seen him with the Arena League, and I've seen him do a couple other things. But you never know. Honestly, if a player is making a lot of money nowadays in their first contract, they're not getting a ton of money with the new CBA. So the Redskins, I think they paid RG3 like $34 million or something like that. I'm not sure of the number. But is he tradable?
For 4 years, $21 million.
Yeah, 4 years, $21 million. That's roughly $6.7-6.8 million a year, whatever it is. You know, he's not getting top dollar, so a team could conceivably take him, just like they did Trent Richardson, if things don't work out the way that he wants. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but business wise, if you're hearing and if it's true that that Bruce Allen was not on board with the trade, with the trade that the Rams made with the Redskins, but it was more of Daniel Snyder saying, I want RG3, then conceivably, with all the power that Allen has, a trade could happen if, you know, a good situation came up. You know, we all thought that Trent Richardson wouldn't be traded, but look, he did. And he was, and he's still not doing what was expected of him, even though he was better in Cleveland. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened to him in Indianapolis, and I can't say it's the system, because you learn a play, you know what holes, you know how to run the stretch, but I think Ricky said it best. It was a different system. He's not used to that type of system in Indy. And I think the same thing might happen with RG3. If he doesn't pick up on this West Coast system and become more proficient in it, you know, there'll be grumblings. There will be grumblings. But I thought it was a very good hire myself. Hopefully things work out, whereas we get the type of talent that Jay needs to succeed on the offensive side. Hopefully we re-sign Arakpo and Percy.
I don't think they should re-sign him. They stacked at that position.
Well,
they got Daryl Tapp. They got what's the dude?
Jackson.
Rob Jackson. And they got the youngin from Florida State. They stacked at that position. I don't think they should re-sign it. I really don't.
Well, I tell you what. When Jackson came in a year ago, he was more productive than Arakpo was when Arakpo was starting. This year, Arakpo started out slow. He ended up better. But I'm not sure if you want to separate him and Kerrigan just yet, because I think they're finding their niche. Dale Tapp, he's not that guy. He's not that every down, I'm going to give it to you all the time guy. I think
right, but what I'm pointing out to you is you have two stopgaps and you have a budding star.
That young guy from Florida State is the truth. They never activated him this year. They could never get him on the field. But I'm going to tell you, if they get him on the field, that boy is a beast.
Well, we might be able to see him. We might be able to see him. But let's move away from this conversation because we got to talk about the playoff games. And I'm going to save the fantasy basketball trade for last because that's a debate that might last a little while and I want to get to the playoffs.
You're a funny guy.
Hey, you made the offer. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about NFL Week 2 of the fantasy playoffs. Of the real playoffs. We've got Percy Harvin, who only played like one game all season, coming back to play in the playoff game, which is, in my opinion, crazy. Because if he was that hurt that he couldn't finish the season, you know, why take the risk of hurting him even more for one playoff game that's not going to get you to the Super Bowl? It's a game closer to the Super Bowl, but it's not getting into the Super Bowl. I kind of don't like that there, but they're going against New Orleans, who they're going up to Seattle, and it's supposed to be 40 mile-per-hour wind gusts coming in that stadium.
And rain.
Crazy.
And rain.
So is it a good session for beast mode to return? Maybe, but not, and I repeat, not for Seattle. I think the star of this game will be Mark Ingram. I really think Mark Ingram's going to be the star of this game because he's a miniature, younger Marshawn Lynch. Now, I think, first of all, New Orleans is going to win the game. I think that Seattle has a very, very, very good formula and a very, very good team, and the surroundings are outstanding for them. However, I see a chink in the armor, so to speak. I think they're just a little bit too confident in their abilities to beat New Orleans or beat anybody in Seattle. Two teams came up here this year and really put it on them. I'm talking about the Indianapolis Colts, who doesn't have an outstanding defense. They don't. They're good enough. And the Arizona Cardinals, who do have an outstanding defense and a pretty decent offense. So I look at New Orleans, and I say, okay, well, of course you got Drew Brees, Jimmy Graham, you got Kenny Stills, you got Lance Moore, you got Devery Henderson, Marquise Colston, Mark Ingram, and that young running back who was at third string who came in, Ingram and Thomas were hurt. Then I flip it over to Seattle. I love Russell Wilson. I'm telling you, Russell Wilson, in my opinion, should have been the number two pick in the NFL draft. You get hung up on size and height, got it, but you can't ever take away from somebody's intelligence and their abilities. But you got him. Then you got Marshawn Lynch in that offensive line. Then you've got what else out there? Doug Baldwin. No one's afraid of him. You've got Zach Miller, who was a very good tight end for Oakland. Then he went up to Seattle and disappeared. He just recently came out of hiding a little bit this year. On the other side, you got Curse. No, Curse is on IR, if I'm not mistaken. You got Golden Tate and now Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin is going to be a big game changer in field position. Darren Sproles are going to make this game interesting by the field position they get for their team. Other than that, that defense is outstanding, and I think this is going to be a run game. Excuse me. Sorry about that. But I see Mark Ingram being that guy. That's the difference in this game for New Orleans. We're going to go around the horn. I'm going to let Mike and then Jerry, and then we'll move on to another another game.
Seattle's going to take this game. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. They're going to take this game. Saints ain't ready for Seattle. I'm sorry. I hear your analysis, and once again, you're off. And it's Seattle.
Well, last time they played a playoff game, Seattle was 7-9. The Saints were, what, 12-4, 13-3, something like that. And
yep.
Seattle handled it to them. This past season, they played the Saints again in Seattle. Thought it was going to be different, even with the Rob Ryan defense. Wrong. Didn't happen. Got blown out. And they may not get blown out because usually the pucker factor in a playoff game leads to a lot more conservative play, even though Seattle wanted to run the run-heaviest teams in the league. I think it's going to be even more conservative, especially with the weather conditions. Still, the results are going to be the same. It may be a lower-scoring game. The point difference between Seattle and New Orleans are going to be it's going to be smaller, but the results are still going to be the same. You come to Seattle, you're going to lose. They only lost one game in the last two seasons, and
twice.
Only lost one game in the last two seasons, and that's against Arizona. No, they only lost one game in the last two seasons. The first time they lost in the last two seasons was against Arizona. That's it. New Orleans is going to, with their chests pumped out because of what they did last week, feeling good about themselves. But the Saints are going to be the Saints of the old when they leave here, meaning they're going to be the Aints. The Aints. Because they ain't going to win in Seattle.
Okay. I kind of disagree, but hey, it is what it is. That's why we have the great debate. So, let me just interject
something here real quick. Just think about these playoff matchups, all of them, okay? Drew Brees, Super Bowl winner, going against the young buck. Peyton Manning going against the younger Philip Rivers. Tom Brady going against the young buck, Andrew Luck. Okay? The only guys that haven't won a Super Bowl of the four playoffs is Kaepernick and Cam Newton. But you got former Super Bowl quarterbacks playing against some younger quarterbacks. What's going to happen when those three games – This could be a turning point in the hierarchy of quarterbacks. If there's some upsets in here, trust me. This is if you think about it, it's a pretty historic weekend of matchups because you got a lot of young quarterbacks that are trying to make a name for themselves, and you got prior Super Bowl winning quarterbacks playing against these guys.
Well. Two things. I was getting to that young versus old deal here, but I think when you look at the entirety of what's going on, passing of a torch is what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think that's the case here. Phillip Rivers is going to take a lesson this weekend, and I got it. You got what's his name, Wisenhunt, you know, calling great plays, mixing in players, doing this, doing that. But at the same time, I see because that's the game I'm getting to here. I see the ability of the experience that Peyton Manning has versus the experience that, that Phillip Rivers has, and there is no comparison whatsoever,
well,
in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can talk about Breeze and Russell. I think that's fair. I think that is fair. But I still think that if you give Breeze the running game that I think he's going to have today, you get a win. And you get a good win for New Orleans. Now, I'm moving on to San Diego and the Broncos. I don't think there's going to be too much of a hissy fit from Phillip when he sees his team, we're down. We got to find a way to win. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's got great weapons. But I don't think he has the it factor to defeat or take the team on his shoulders and defeat Peyton Manning today. I'm looking at both sides. Now, granted, the defense is going to be the difference in both these teams here. The Broncos' defense, I don't know. Maybe it's because they score too many points on the field too long. I don't know. Maybe it's something else. But they just can't stop anybody when it counts. Vaughn Miller is down. He's out. So, you know, you can't rely on that. God bless you. You can't rely on a constant pass rush from them. It's, you know, kind of difficult to predict what the Broncos defense is going to do. But you do know one thing. One thing is constant. Peyton Manning is going to throw that ball. 5 people, 10 touchdowns, 1 year. That's a lot of weapons. The Chargers. I think Ryan Matthews is going to play. Ronnie Brown, who a lot of people said doesn't have anything left, he might not, but he's going to give it all he has. But Danny Woodhead and Keenan Allen, and these young guys, and Bill Gates, they're tough. They're very good, and they've exceeded expectations. But I think it ends here this week in Mile High. So with that being said, yes, I'm going to pick the Broncos to finish off the Bolts this season. So that's what I got. Michael.
I'm with Jerry on the passing of the torch, but I think we differ on this game, though. I think Mr. Rivers is going to come through this year. I don't know what you're talking about, Victor, about Rivers don't have that it factor. That boy got he is draped in it. He is draped in it. He has just been mired in a whole bunch of different things. I mean, he's coached by Norvell Turner, for Christ's sake. But this game is for the Chargers to take. It is prime for the Chargers to take. Denver's defense look real suspect. Chargers is not intimidated by Peyton Manning. It's being run by one of his former coaches. They are not intimidated by Mile High because they've been in there. They went in there and they whooped them and came out with a win. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going with the Chargers. As a matter of fact, they get past these jokers, Slim. I'm taking them for the Super Bowl. You heard it again. And I said it, Thursday? I'm going with the Chargers. I like the Chargers. I think they peaking right about now. I think it's Phillip Rivers' time. Time for another torch to pass over.
And, you know, Victor, you picked the Ravens last year, and they had a young quarterback in there. His name's Flacco. Even though he'd been in there only 4 years or whatever, he didn't have no Super Bowl ring, and he began the torch passing last year. Him and Kaepernick was in the Super Bowl, two guys that ain't never been there, and that it's time. Phillip Rivers, Chargers. I think the Broncos are going to come out with a whole bunch of offensive output, but I think the Chargers defense can stifle them a little bit, but they're not going to be able to put a full cap on them, but they're going to be able to stop them.
And there's a lot of pressure on Peyton Manning in this game. Peyton Manning's record is 9-11 in the playoffs. Peyton Manning's record against Phillip Rivers is on a negative side. Believe it or not, I don't know if you knew that or not. Phillip Rivers has beaten Peyton Manning more than Peyton Manning has beaten Phillip Rivers. And like Mikal says, they are not the division rivals. They know this team left to right. They can't stand each other. And obviously they're not afraid of them because they went into Denver and beat them. And Mike McCoy, the head coach of the San Diego Chargers, who knows Peyton Manning better now, not the old Peyton Manning, but the Peyton Manning of now, better than Mike McCoy, who coached him as an offensive coordinator last year and knows his weaknesses and strengths better than probably anybody else. I have a hard time picking San Diego in this game. It's a tough game to pick. It's a very tough game to pick because of the fact it's played in Denver, and I can't see Denver losing twice in San Diego. I would have to go with Denver in this game, but it ain't going to be easy. That's plain and simple. It's not going to be easy because of the division rivalry, because of the – and I can't say any better way – as the Peyton Manning curse in the playoffs, which he doesn't have a good record in the playoffs, no matter how prolific he is in the regular season. And there's another thing I got to say here. If you look at the quarterbacks, there's four regular type of quarterbacks in this game for the most part to stay in the pocket, and there's four mobile quarterbacks. This is a game changer, meaning the way people look at quarterbacks. If a mobile quarterback, meaning Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, or who's the other quarterback? One of those three quarterbacks happen to win. And even Andrew Luck is not a traditional. He runs the ball quite a bit, and he can go out there. So you've got four mobile quarterbacks versus four, in quotation marks, pocket quarterbacks. One of those four quarterbacks win this game, win to the Super Bowl. You think you had an influx of mobile quarterbacks in the recent past? It's going to be even more because the NFL is copycat league. Everybody's going to want a mobile quarterback. And more, that's what's going to happen because people are doing more with the pass rush, trying to stifle the passing league, rushing the quarterback. So you need a mobile quarterback. This is a huge postseason for the NFL and for the perception of quarterbacks and what people are going to want in quarterbacks. In my opinion. And I like Broncos. But not by much.
Okay. Well, let's move on to another game. Since you brought up Mr. Luck, Young Buck versus Old Lion here. Andrew Luck takes on Tom Brady. Tom Brady is going in there with Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman. I don't know who the feature back is. Is it LeGarrette Blount? Is it Brandon Bolden? Who is it? But you know Shane Vereen's there as well. On the opposite side, due to injury, you got Deion Branch, T.Y. Hilton, Kobe Fleener, Andrew Luck, Trent Richardson, and Donald Brown. Now, Vontae Davis, who is a D.C. native, brother of Vernon Davis, is going to be on the opposite side trying to stop Mr. Brady and whoever he decides to throw the ball to. It's in Gillette Stadium in New England. I don't quite see a winning outcome for the Colts. Colts are very good. I just don't think they're experienced enough to defeat Tom Brady and the Patriots. It's unfortunate because I would have picked Kansas City to beat the Patriots because I just think Kansas City is a more complete team. They just had it was like the bubonic plague hit the Colts. I mean, hit the Colts and Chiefs game last week. Like, every daggone Chief in a key position went down, and I'm like, what in the heck is going on? You know,
And they still almost won that game.
Exactly, and they still almost won the game. So that tells me a lot about the Colts. You know, the Colts ended up literally playing the second string of the Chiefs' defense and the Chiefs' offense. So you go up there and you're going to face Tom Brady. I don't even like the Patriots, you know, but I have to pick them in this game because I just think Belichick's formula for defeating the Colts will continue, whether it's Andrew Luck or if it's Peyton Manning. I think he's going to find a way to beat the Colts. Unfortunately, or fortunately for me, because I don't think they're going to win, I think the actual AFC representative is going to come from the Broncos and San Diego game, who I think is going to be the Broncos. But in this game between the Colts and the Patriots, I just don't see a way for the Colts to win. They can run Trent Richardson. They can run Donald Brown. Aqib Talib is going to lock down T.Y. Hilton. Now, T.Y. can run past him. T.Y. can run past him. But I think they're going to give him a little help because if Talib gets his hands on T.Y., he's going to hold him up. And that means that Deion Branch is going to have a bigger impact on this game. You know, there's stories about him giving up secrets and stuff like that. Whatever. It's football. It's a business. If it happens, it happens. So be it. But I don't think there's enough chemistry there between Luck and Branch to warrant being a big impact. So long story short, I'm picking the Patriots to win this game in a very uneventful game. Very uneventful. Mike.
So by you picking the Patriots, would that make them a contender?
Pick the daggone game, guy.
The bottom of the AFC East, Lev. They playing for the bottom of the AFC East. That's what they playing for, the bottom of the AFC East. Don't feel bad, Vic. Hey, Vic, don't feel bad, because I hate the Patriots, too. But I done hated them so long that it don't even matter no more. I don't even put any emotion in that no more, man. I just look at them straight up, man. And, yeah, you're right. They're going to take this game. I don't think Luck and them is ready for the Patriots. The Patriots they're going to eke out something in this game and win it. But I don't think the Patriots have enough to, play for that Lombardi. So, yeah, I'm going with the Patriots.
Do I really have to pick this game? This to me is like a no-brainer to me. In my opinion, this is like a no-brainer to me. I can't see the Colts even coming close to the Patriots in this game. Bill Belichick against young quarterbacks, that's not a winning formula for the that young quarterback. So, in my opinion, this is a no-brainer, no-win situation for Indianapolis Patriots.
Well, you know what I want to do? I want to go over to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play, and look at some spreads. We got time. We can do it. In this particular game, New England is favored by 8. In the New Orleans-Seattle game, Seattle's favored by 10.5. And I think New Orleans is going to cover that, by the way. It's interesting. And Denver is covered by is said to win by 10.5. I think that's not going to happen. I think Denver's going to win, but not by 10.5. So, the only game that's a pick'em and supposed to be close, San Fran to Carolina. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, I want you to understand me when I tell you this. This will not be a close game. San Francisco is going to run away with the victory.
Wow, really?
I'm going to run some stuff down for you. Now, yeah, I get it. Carolina has the third best defense in the NFL. I think San Fran has the fifth or sixth. Got it. Carolina's offense is ranked in the mid to low 20s. San Fran, I think 15, 16, something like that. But let's look at what San Fran has versus Carolina. Anquan Boldin, Michael Crabtree, Vernon Davis, Frank Gore, Kendall Hunter, Colin Kaepernick. That's just the offensive side. Now, I know you got the black Superman on the other side being Cam Newton. You may or may not have Steve Smith. And if you don't have Steve Smith, that's going to be a problem. You got D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert, Greg Olsen, Brandon LaFell. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you're going to see a lot of D'Angelo Williams in this game like you did in the last game you saw. I think it was a 9-10 or something like that victory for the Panthers.
Yes, 10-9, yes.
10-9. San Francisco is going to go into Carolina and beat these boys by 7 or more. Mark my words on this. San Francisco, they're hitting their stride. I think it will be San Fran and New Orleans in the NFC Conference title game, and I think New Orleans is going to win. But San Francisco is going to dispose of the Carolina Panthers. This is a pick'em, but San Fran wins this game hands down. Now, they're saying the over-under is 41. If you go to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, you see these point spreads over and unders. It's very interesting. But that's what I got on this one. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm going with the Panthers on this one. I don't think the Panthers are intimidated by San Francisco. You know, I like that defense that the Panthers got. San Francisco, I just can't go with San Francisco in this game. I like Cam. I like them to take this at home. Straight out.
This is a tough game. I agonize over this game on Thursday, and I'm still agonizing over this game about who's going to win it. On Thursday, I took Carolina as Michael witnessed when we were on the program, and I still have to take Carolina. That Carolina has a very extremely quick linebacking core, and Colin Kaepernick struggled like crazy. Once he couldn't pass the ball down the field, especially with Carolina's pass rush, he got stifled. He couldn't even run out because the fact is they contained him so well. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball that effectively. In fact, both teams, in fact, San Francisco is probably more vulnerable against the run than Carolina, in my opinion. So I'd have to go with the, and I really agonize over this, I think Carolina's got a better defense, overall defense, and with Luke Kuechly or Kuechly, whatever his heck freaking name is, I always have a problem pronouncing his name. He's very good against the run. He's not as good as against the pass. But I do like Carolina, especially them playing at home. I like Carolina against this. I mean, second road game. I think Carolina's got the advantage here, and I like Carolina. But it's going to be close. It's going to be. I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's not going to be a blowout like you predicted, Vic.
Okay. I mean, you know, to each his own. I think it's going to be one of those, you came to my house and you only put up 10 points and I still almost beat you and I was missing some of my players. So now I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to embarrass you in front of your fans. We got to remember this is Cam Newton's first venture into the playoffs. This kid is dynamic. But if Steve Smith is limited or unable to play, I don't trust that receiving core when it comes down to making the big play. I really don't. So, again, I'm basing this off of what I'm seeing and, what's available for the taking. So I think that you got to look at more than just, the defense of the Carolina Panthers. Again, that defense is outstanding. That defense is very, very good. I just don't think they're good enough to put a stop to all the weapons that San Fran has. But let's move on. We're finished with football. Pretty much, as I said before, I'm picking the Saints to meet the Broncos in the championship. Michael has picked the Chargers. And who else? Who do you got besides the Chargers from the NFC?
Chargers
in Seattle. And JT, who you got?
What's that?
Jerry.
What's
who
that?
Who do you have going in the Super Bowl?
Who I have going in the Super Bowl? I got Seattle and Denver. Two different type of teams. One's a defensive team. The other one's an offensive team. What could be a better Super Bowl? Seattle and Denver.
All right. Well, it is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. We got 20 minutes left live air. Now we're going to get to an impartial judge, so to speak, hopefully.
Wait a minute. Before you go there, I'm surprised you have not brought this up. I don't know if you guys know it or not, but A-Rod, my man A-Rod, has got his suspension reduced.
Really?
From 211 games in 2014 to 160. Two.
So he's going to miss 1 year.
He's going to miss the total of season of 2014. But he says the cards were stacked against him from day one, and he plans to fight the ruling. So A-Rod's saga finished.
We got enough time to talk about that. Because if Bud Selig and MLB were so sure that they could get away with all this, why reduce the 2-year ban? Why reduce it to 1 year? Well, 1.5 years, I should say, to 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, A-Rod isn't getting any younger, so even if he does come back after a year, if it holds up, he's probably going to be a designated hitter somewhere, swinging at, what, 45, 46? Nah, A-Rod and I are about the same age, right? We're about 37, 38.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be what? He'll be almost 40. And he can still hit, because I think Bonds hit and played the outfield up until he was like 41, 42. So that, hey, you never know. I think that's an indictment on what it is MLB has on him. Because I'm not saying that he's A-Rod, that is completely blameless or innocent in this. But that's a big, big confidence booster in my book, that if you're going to reduce a suspension that you were so hard on, saying, no, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, all of a sudden you're going to reduce it to a season?
Well, that's the arbiter. That's the arbitrator that reduced it.
So baseball didn't do it.
The arbitrator, they went to an arbitrator, And A-Rod stormed out of the arbitration hearing and said that what's the sense of me being here if Selig's not going to testify? You guys have pre-written this already. So now the ruling was supposed to come down. It just came down today. Got cut from 211 games to 162 games. That was from the Rock.
That's interesting. I mean, I remember the storming out part. I remember
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, okay, that's interesting. Well, we'll see. If he's gonna fight it all the way, let him fight it all the way. Let him do what he's gonna do. He's a grown man. He's also a millionaire, multi-millionaire. So if he's gonna continue to do this, he's not getting into the Hall of Fame. Sorry, they're not gonna do it. They just inducted. Well, you know what? Dag, we don't got enough time. But I was gonna talk about the Frank Thomas and Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux, the three that were said to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame. Because some people are complaining. Okay. But Greg Biggio and Jeff Bagwell, who had nothing to do with steroids, from what I understand, but they were in the steroid era, still haven't been put in the Hall of Fame. But those three have been, so that's another topic for another day. Like you said, you're going to do it tomorrow. But, Mike, I got a question for you. If you had Tyree Irvin on your fantasy basketball team.
Who?
Kyrie Irving from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Okay. And granted, you had a very good team, but they're going through some troubles because of injury early on this year, basketball season. And somebody offered you a bunch of hand-me-downs.
Not hand-me-downs. See, this is the problem, Victor, with you. This is the problem. This is the problem with you. You. If it's not a named guy, you have a hard time dealing with that. And this happens habitually with people in fantasy. If it's not a big ticket, big name guy, oh, I don't want that guy. He's garbage. But if you look what I offered you compared to what you have on your team, it satisfies every need on your team that you have. And it's not a slouch. It is not a slouch.
But
if you look at what the guy averages a game, he is not a slouch. I'm giving you Tyreek Evans, who's not a slouch. I'm giving you Nene, who's been playing well. I'm giving you Amir Johnson, who's been playing well. I'm giving you Kurt Heinrich, who's a shooting guard, and he's going to be even more involved because Luol Deng is not there. I'm giving you Terrence Ross, who's a rising star in the league, for Kyrie Irving and DeMar DeRozan. I mean, I'm giving you five players, and I'm asking for two. And it's satisfied, and more than satisfied, what's hurting on your team.
But you got to think about this, Jerry. Okay, I got some good players. Got it. I got some players that are definitely out, injured, stuff like that. And I don't want to drop them. And I don't. If I put them on IR, once I get them back, I'm going to have to drop the players that you're giving me. You see? So that's the dilemma I'm in. Whereas, for instance, right now I'm looking at my team. I've got some people that are done. I got Kyrie, Wilson Chandler, he's doubtful. Chandler Parsons is doubtful. John Henson is out. I got Dwight Howard, Ty Lawson, J.R. Smith, J.J. Redick, Victor Oladipo, Chris Bosh, Zach Randolph. Nana Ginobili is doubtful. Ed Bledsoe is out. Omar Asik is out. Trey Burke. DeMar DeRozan. Mario Chalmers is out. Dwan Blair. I got Kobe who's out. Now, as I said before, I got a bunch of players that are currently out, but it's early in the season.
No, it's not.
Now,
no, it's not. If you look at the schedule, if you look at the schedule where you're at right now, we're about halfway into the season, if you know it or not. If you look at your schedule, you're about halfway into the season. This is week 11 right now that you're in. Week 11. Okay? We go to week 19. So we're halfway into the season here, Victor. Now, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's what I have with people that I'm not looking at the big picture. Are not looking at the big picture. You're going to wait for these guys for how long, and by the time they come back, it's going to be too late. That's what I'm saying. We're in week 11, and week 19 is the last one before you go into the playoffs. Come on. That's what I'm talking about.
There's several things here. One, I really don't care too much about fantasy basketball, but two, I'm not going to let you get a star caliber player so you can go win a championship, because I'm going to just hate on you like that.
See, but you don't know that. You're looking at that. See, that's what I'm talking about, Mikal. That's the mentality I'm working with here. Rather than make moves to try to win yourself, you said, I'm not going to, because there's a chance that you may win, and I don't want you to win because you may be talking a whole bunch of junk. Well, No.
Don't give me that no. That's some BS, and you know it.
Well, listen, what did you just say? You said, I'm not going to give you some player that may get you to win the championship. So you can talk about it. What?
I didn't say so you could talk about it, but if that's the way you feel, yeah, then that's how you feel.
Victor, you know, when I trade to help both teams, even though, you know, I'm looking for a certain player, but I'm not afraid to give out players to try to help my team, but I'm giving players that's going to benefit your team also. You're hurting. You're hurting on your team, and you're going to wait on these players that you have hurting that for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, which is going to be way too late because you're 2-8 right now. You are 2-8. So you need to shore up your team right away in order to be able to have a shot to make the playoffs. So. And when you say you want to hold on to these teams because it's early in the season, it's not early in the season. It's halfway through the season. Halfway.
I'm quite content.
Okay. Well, it is what it is. It is what it is, Victor. Obviously, you have a loser's mentality. So whatever pleases you, fine. I happen to have a two-game winning streak right now because I'm focused now on playing this fantasy basketball, and I'm going up against the number one team this week, And I'm only trailing him by a short amount. So it doesn't take much to turn it around. Let me put it that way. It doesn't take much to turn around, but you got to want to do it.
And if you got
a loser's mentality, oh well.
But you know what, Jerry? You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to keep hustling him, because Victor is not a wheeler or dealer. He thinks he is. Victor is not a player.
Oh, thank you. He's none of those things.
He always wants to be put himself in a position where he gets maximum out of the situation, even to the detriment of the other person in the deal, in the hustle. You know what I mean?
But hold on.
I'm giving you my impartial, you know, rendering after listening to you. But I'm telling you straight up, from what I'm hearing, you know what I'm saying, at 2-8, you're going to have to start willing and dealing. But you're not willing and dealing, so you're not a dealer, right? Exactly. See, so you're not willing and dealing, right? You're not willing and dealing. You're down 2-8, so you're not, and you don't want to make a play, so you're not a player. You know what I'm saying? You sitting up there playing emperor as usual. You know what I'm saying? And you're not gonna get down. It's not gonna work for you like that. The only way you're going to get work, the only way for it to work is you're going to get worked over all the time. You're going to get worked over until you play, until you wheel and deal, because you got to be in it to win it. You got to be in it to win it. Now you 2-8. I mean, you can't hurt whatever move you got. You can drop some, pick up somebody. You know what I'm saying? But to sit there and say that you're not going to deal with him because it's him, I understand that mentality. I get it. You don't want to give him the trade that puts him right over the tide, and that would just have a stuck in your craw. I totally understand that. That's how we feel in our family. That's how we get down. This is what I'm telling you. You're going to have to play. You down 2-8, you're going to have to make a deal. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to take the deal necessarily that he's putting on the table. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
You know, rework it so it'll be your deal and his deal. You know what I'm saying? But that would be my advice to you. My advice to Jerry, just keep working him. He's going to turn out sweet anyway. He can't be nowhere but sweet right now. He's gonna give up.
I got another deal sitting there too, with Kyrie Irving for Avery Bradley, Amir Johnson, and Josh McRoberts, which still helps you. I mean,
I'm getting upset listening to this New York City dude. You know, hustle my GC.
Hey, it's all good. Hey, listen. I'm not doing nothing. Here's what's going to happen, because we got 90 seconds left of the show. There will be no deal for Kyrie. If you want Debo, I took that trade off you for Debo. You better come up a lot stronger for Debo. That's all I'm going to say. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fantasy Sports and Politics. That is different. Okay? Tomorrow, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, JKPT is going to talk about football, playoffs, outcomes, and what's to come up. He's also going to talk about some baseball, the Hall of Fame, and some more, if I'm not mistaken, JT.
Absolutely talking about the inductees that are going to be put into the Baseball Hall of Fame, people who've gotten cut short, come up short, not being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And like I said, we're going to talk about, shortly we talked about here today, A-Rod. My man, A-Rod.
All right, all right, all right. Then we're missing, we got 10 seconds left of live air, so I want to thank you guys for listening. Catch us in the archive as I finish up this show. Check you out next week. We are sponsored by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com. Now we're in overtime. Real quick, with Sylvia taking a leave of absence, timeout will not be airing. It's a to-be-determined status, so we shall see what happens there. But then on Thursdays, you have, back again, FSP Crew Show, doing what they do, they do it for you, JJAT and Money, Black the Bookie, along with Jeff the Joker. I'm not sure what's going to be talked about, but I'm quite sure with all the DMV, District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia boxing talent that's being featured on Showtime, HBO, and ESPN and this month, Black will be sure to talk about it on the show, along with some other stuff, I'm not sure. Then on Friday, Matt Williams, Jerry Taylor, No Chaser, back in the building doing what they do. Is there a special guest this upcoming Friday, Jerry?
No, there's no special guest. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. I think there is. Hold on a minute. Let me just bear with me for a minute.
Okay.
I just think I saw something here from Mac.
Okay.
That we're getting a special guest. Keep on talking. I'll get to you.
In the interim, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to listen to any of our shows, and we want to thank Brent for coming on, by the way, the Wolverines in the House champion. He came on, made a $100 a game bet next season against Jerry. Brent, good luck collecting that money. That's all I'm gonna say.
Stop. You need to stop, Victor. You know you need to stop. You know that is not even close to being right. Anyway, Friday, January 17th, we have a return engagement of the Straight to the League founder and CEO Travis Smith and the president of marketing, Troy Fernandez. Straight to the League is a new clothing line that these guys pushed out. They'll be back for return engagement and probably going to let us know of some more of the clothing line that's going to be being put out. So that's January 17th, Friday. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
All right. We can probably help sell some of their stuff in the stores on our site if they give us some money from it. I have no problem doing it. Also, you'll be back here next Saturday where we're going to be discussing the NFC and AFC conference title games. Who will be in it? Who's in it to win it? Also, the three finalists in Minnesota, former Washington Redskin Todd Bowles, they're also talking about the Minnesota Vikings. They want to talk to the guy out here in San Francisco, Roman, I can't get his last name, Greg Roman from the 49ers, and they also want to talk to Ken Whisenhunt. Now, Ken Whisenhunt also is coveted by the Detroit Lions. After today, come tomorrow morning, he might be the new Detroit Lions head coach because the Chargers will be out the playoffs. We also have some other things that might take place over the week. We're going to talk about the 15 finalists. The 15 finalists in the NFL Hall of Fame. Out of those 15, who do we think will make it? The NFL will, for the first time ever, let us go inside the room where they make that decision to decide who is going into the Hall of Fame. I believe that's happening this week. And next week, fantasy meets reality. Deion Sanders, Jerry Rice, pick the NFL's Pro Bowl for the first time ever. No conferences. Straight up and down, I can be playing my teammate in the Pro Bowl. We'll see how that takes us. We'll talk about that too. Anything else that comes up, we're getting ready for baseball. We can still talk basketball. I know Jerry's just going to try to fleece me. I'm not going to let him do it. my cousin was right.
I'm not trying to fleece you. I'm trying to get a fair and equitable trade here.
He's not fleecing you. He's hustling you, and you falling for it. The more you sit back on your little perch and talk like that, he's hustling you. And you're going to come off of something. You're going to come off something.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You're coming off something. Not unless you just going to sit there and just take that losing. You know, either way, you're going to lose. You in a lose-lose situation. You got to get out of that lose-lose. That's why I know you're not a willer and dealer. You got to get to win-win.
I'm good where I am. Oh, JP.
And the only person I'm hearing talking win-win is Jerry. He's talking win-win. That's a willer and dealer. And it's a hustle, too.
Yes.
Okay. Next week is my anniversary, so I may or may not be on the show. I just realized that.
Okay.
I'm headed to Lake Tahoe, so I'm gonna tell her to give me an hour and a half to do the show.
That ain't happening.
You know that.
I know better. When you can lose a fantasy playoff matchup because of what your other half has decided that you won't do, and it costs you some money, you are not going to be on the show next week.
Yeah, I will be. Yes, I will.
Okay. You gonna put your man pants on? Is that what you're gonna do?
Oh shit! I'm gonna get you a depend. Anyway, whatever.
I see you put a lot of your players on IR. So, are you clearing bench space, or do you really want a deal, or what?
I'm clearing bench space. Just bench space. I mean, like I said, you can talk to me about Z-Bo, but after Z-Bo, I don't know. Oh, and I'm not sure about your co-host next. Co-host tomorrow. He may or may not call in because of issues. I'm not at liberty to discuss them. If he talks about them, y'all can talk about it off air.
Okay.
Really, off air.
Okay.
But I don't know about his situation, so we'll see what happens. But you may or may not have a co-host. That was the shortest co-host you've ever had.
Okay.
The longest co-host you've ever had.
Well, what are you doing off air as soon as we leave here?
I'm going to see if my wife wants to go see Hercules, but you can hit me up.
Okay. All right, I'll hit you up as soon as we get off of here.
All right. Mike, what's going on with Grown Soul and Real Talk? What's the latest topics? How can people get in touch with you? And are you still
on
the show?
Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/GrownSoul.
All right. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for a fun-filled day of football in the NFL, some college basketball. We're going to get into that a little bit. Coming up, trust me, we've got a lot in store for you on that. We've got a lot of great, great sports and probably political talk going on in the upcoming months. So stick and stay with us. We're doing what we do. Go around the horn so we can get out of here. Mike, then Jerry, and we're out. Go ahead.
Oh, peace and blessings from Macau to Grown Soul and the little emperor.
with that being said, tune in tomorrow. We're going to be talking about a lot of subjects, NFL playoffs. We're going to be talking about baseball and maybe a little basketball, depending on how things go. But we're definitely going to be talking about the NFL playoffs and the baseball. The Hall of Fame and things like that. So with that being said, and without Victor jumping on, this has been sponsored by the Fantasy Sports Book and Casino. From Macau, me and Victor, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine.
but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasies, sports, and politics.